Blog Talk Radio.
Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Friday, March the 22nd. As we like to do from time to time, we're going to be chatting tonight with my friends David Busby and Carlos Torres. We're going to talk about Dallas-Fort Worth sports, and we're going to look at some of our favorite teams here in the area. We're going to take a look at the Mavericks with Dirk Nowitzki especially. The Mavericks are out of it. They're like 28-44, so they're going nowhere. They're number 14th in the Western Conference, so they're not going anywhere. But Dirk Nowitzki is probably playing the last 7 to 10 games of his career. So we'll talk a little bit about Dirk and what he's meant to the city and to the team. We're also going to talk about the Dallas Stars, who are in a better position as far as the postseason. They've got 82 points in the search for a position in the postseason. The Rangers have just about put their roster together. They still may have a couple of opening spots in the roster. If things go right, they've got a pretty decent starting rotation, at least number one and number two. After that, it's a big question mark. And, of course, the bullpen, in theory, it doesn't look bad. But, of course, if you don't get the starting pitching, then you're going to have a lot of tired pitchers out of the bullpen. We're also going to talk a little bit about, these major league salaries that are absolutely astronomical all of a sudden. So let me say hello to my friend David Busby. How are you, David?
I'm doing good for a Friday night.
Okay. And what about my friend Carlos Torres? How is he doing?
I'm doing good, buddy. I can't wait to talk about that topic. I got some thoughts on that.
Well, great. We're going to do that. I want to congratulate both of you. You're both great fathers, have great children, but especially your daughter, Iris, who had a
Thank
big
you.
Celebration this week, or has one coming up, I should say. Tell me about that young woman. She's doing great.
Yeah, she made the dean's list at her university. They do quarters over there, so during the winter quarter. And it's funny because we got the letter the other day, and we called her, and she wasn't even aware. She said, "Are you joking?" What is this, the 22nd? So in 63 days, she will be a college graduate. And we're so excited and so proud of her. And we're having a huge party in Norton, Louisiana on the 25th of May. So,
wow, congratulations.
I tell you. Thank you.
You should be very proud of her. You know, we've seen her grow up at church, which is kind of a nice thing to see a young woman grow up. Another young woman that I saw grow up was your wife, David, who was also a young woman at the church, I remember, when she was a high school student. How is your son, Michael? How is he doing with hockey?
He's enjoying it every way possible he can. You know, he hates losing, but, you know, everybody just kind of has that same feeling. But, you know, you have winners and you have losers. So it's just how well do you pick yourself up from it? Do you learn from it? Go from there and do your best the next time around. So, you know, at 8 years old, it's hard for him to handle all of those emotions as well as think about, okay, well, we lost here. We got to move on to the next one. So I'm trying to coach him to be able to handle these things like that. But, you know, it's going to be a couple more years before I think things kind of settle in of how you handle all those emotions with the maturity and everything of growing up. So, but
yeah,
he's loving
no,
it.
No, I know. I know it's part of the growing up process, but I'm sure he's enjoying it, and I'm sure you're enjoying it as well. I went through that, you know, with my sons, baseball, basketball, and all of those sports when they were younger. And it's a lot of fun, actually, I think, to go through that. I miss it quite a bit. Well, let's begin with the Dallas Mavericks. And that's, you know, they're not having, obviously, a very good year. I mentioned they're 28-44, so that's not a very good record. But Dirk Nowitzki is very likely going to retire at the end of the season. There have been several stories about how his body just cannot handle it anymore. It's just too, you know, 20 years, 21 years will take its toll. And it looks like this is going to be it for him, although it's not official. So I just thought maybe I could hear from both of you a little bit tonight about Dirk. And he's kind of grown up here. I remember when he was 18 or 19 when he first started playing. So, David, your thoughts about Dirk Nowitzki and, you know, whether or not this is his last year. It looks to me like it is, David.
Well, 21 years with one team, no other player has ever done that. I mean, he's only averaging maybe anywhere from 8 to 12 minutes. He's scoring about an average of 6 points, 8 points. So, you know, he's really taken a low key and a big step back to help, you know, this younger team, you know, work together and start building that camaraderie, that bond, that so they can move forward going on. So maybe Dirk was more of obviously a leader and a coach to kind of help bridge that and stuff. But as far as trying to come from a 22nd season, as you mentioned, he hasn't said, yes, this is it, no, this isn't. He's just going to kind of figure it out in the off season. But, I mean, even that one little day, I actually got to personally meet him when he came and saw Alex when we were all in the hospital. You know, even then, he didn't even know if he was going to play that 21st season or not. And I think part of this with him saying, no, this isn't, yes, this isn't, he's keeping it up in the air, is he's trying to keep the spotlight off of him and on these younger guys and then the team. So I think that's probably what's going on, that he won't make this decision until the off season. But my gut feeling is this is probably it. You know, he's got his family, his wife, his kid, you know, just to kind of be able to spend that time with them as they're starting to grow up and everything.
Right.
So I think, you know, 21 years, no one has ever done it. He's now number six. He's back to number six on the all-time scoring list. He just passed Wilt Chamberlain a few nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
So for him, there's not much left for him to prove or even to show, but, you know, I think now it's just time for him to step back and enjoy watching the game and seeing how his team that he brought here and built up, you know,
right,
see how they take it from here on out.
That's right. Carlos, your thoughts on Dirk?
Oh, Dirk's awesome. Yeah. he's the greatest basketball player that's ever played for the Mavericks. And there's been some good ones, but he's by far the best. And, I mean, Dave touched on a lot of the things I was going to say. But, you know, I also agree. I mean, 21 years, that's, you know, he got us a championship. He's been injured. He keeps getting injured a lot in the last two seasons. I mean, once again, 21 years in the NBA will do that to you.
Sure.
He's got a beautiful wife, a kid, and, you know, it might be time for him. I think he should move into coaching, like David was saying. You know, he does that a lot. I know he's been, you know, with Luka, he's been mentoring him, grooming him, and, you know, he's like a young Dirk, but he's coming in hot. I mean, we remember when Dirk came in, he didn't start out so hot. You know, it took him a while to get going. Once he got going, he was great. But I think this is the twilight of his playing career, but I think we might see him, you know, some type of coaching for the Mavs. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, I guess that's up to him. Sort of like Michael Young kind of went through the same thing with the Rangers, you know, that he walked away from the game and then about a year later decided to come back as a coach. But I think, you know, what I can tell you about Dirk is that he's such a good guy. He's been the face of the franchise, and I agree with you, Carlos, probably the best player that we've had here, and there have been some other pretty decent ones too, but he's clearly the best one. And I just love the, you know, how seriously he takes, you know, he takes that role as a professional player. You know, a lot of guys play sports, but they don't take they don't understand how important or what they mean to the kids and all of that. But Dirk does, and I think he's always done a good job. So wherever he goes, I really wish him the best. I would love to see him stay connected to the Mavericks, if nothing more. At least do commercials like that one that he does, you know, where he comes, you know, that commercial that he comes in saying what day it is today and all of that. I wish he continues doing that. Yeah, that's a great commercial, you know. That's a great commercial. I hope he stays doing stuff like that and stays in the organization. My guess is that he will because, you know, he, even though he's not from Dallas originally, this is, I think, his adopted home. But David, you mentioned about passing Will Chamberlain. I know that he did that this week. How close would he be to the next one? Is he within any kind of a realistic shot of doing it in the next 10 games?
I know the answer to that.
No, because
the next one on the list is
Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan has got 32,000 something, and Dirk is only at 31,000.
Yeah,
so
it's not
several more years.
Right, yeah, he wouldn't be able to do it. Okay, I just wasn't sure. I knew he had passed Chamberlain, but I wasn't sure who the next one was. So, but just a great career. He has a great career. That's all I can say. Good guy, and we all wish him the best. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Dallas Stars. Let's do a little bit of talk about that. I mentioned they have 82 points. They're in contention for the postseason. David, tell me about the Dallas Stars.
They've got a good backbone on defense. They're ranked number two as far as the team. They're actually one goal behind being tied for first and giving up the least amount of goals with the New Jersey Islanders. So, you know, the Stars have a chance as far as getting the Jennings Trophy, which is the team that gives up the least amount of goals as a team for the whole season. So if you want to look at some kind of positive for the Stars, you know, that I would say that's a big positive with the two goalies that we've had that have just been outstanding from day one all the way up till now with Hudobin and Bishop. Their offense, we can't even figure out whatever happened, why they're 29th in the league, why they're averaging, you know, just a little over 2 points a game or two goals a game. I mean, they're stacked with offensive power. They're just not finding the puck behind the net for some reason. I don't know. Ever since, you know, Jim Light had his little spat, you know, Sagan's been pretty red hot. He's got 28, 29 goals already on the season. So he's creeping up on that 30 goal mark. I mean, it's nowhere close to last season when he hit 40. You know, this team is rallying behind Sagan, Ben, and Radulov once again. But a new kid, you know, Rupe Hines, I mean, this kid is coming out of the blocks and now starting to get some eyes from other coaches, from players, going, who is this kid? Now we've got another person that's kind of getting in that mix. Klingberg's starting to get back with, you know, back into his routine, you know, being able to provide more on the power play, which really struggled when he got hurt. And as far as the offense, I don't really know what's happened, but defense, I think after we've kind of seen that this team is focused more on, you know, we're focusing more on the defensive side. Let's keep the scores low because then we can kind of monitor how we handle these games. But, you know, I was thinking they were going to be a little bit more explosive team when the season started. I thought they were going to be a little bit higher, more in the ranks, you know, third or fourth in the conference. And they're sitting seventh right now. They're fourth in their conference. They're about 2 or 4 points behind St. Louis. And, you know, as far as the playoffs where they are right now, I'd kind of prefer them stand in the seventh seed and take their chances right now against Winnipeg, which they own the series right now, and they still got one more game against Winnipeg here later this week.
Now, just a quick question before we get to Carlos. Yeah. What would it take for them to clinch that spot? I mean, like, what's their magic number, as they like to say? I mean, are they in it, or is it still, is it still possible?
It's still possible they could get knocked out.
Okay.
I'm trying to pull up the standings right now. I think they're about 4 points ahead of Arizona for the eighth spot.
Exactly. It's 82-78 is what I saw was 82-78. They're plus four.
Yeah. So, and they've only got 8 games left for this team. So
Minnesota.
I mean, they're in a good spot. Okay. So Minnesota's now moved up since they've won some, but as of yesterday,
right.
I think, or the day before, Colorado actually took over the eighth spot when they beat the Dallas Stars. So I guess with Minnesota winning, now they're 3 points behind us. So it's still early. They can get knocked out. We could even still move up. But, you know, as far as where Dallas is and the teams that we'd have to play, I think that seventh spot is probably going to be their best bet because they'd either play Winnipeg or Nashville.
Right.
And they've been pretty strong in their own division.
Let me get Carlos in. Your thoughts, Carlos, on the Stars and their playoff chances, whatever you want to say.
Well, when you look at the rest of the schedule, which I think is 7 games, other than Edmonton, all the other teams are either in the playoffs or are right behind the Stars. So, I mean, if it stays the way it is right now, that last game, it'll be Minnesota and Dallas. That would be, you know, that would be a good game. So, we're all hoping that they make it. But the thing is the even though, you know, Dave's talking about the Jennings Trophy, you know, when the few times I've watched them, just Bishop is very streaky guy. I mean, he broke the record, I think it was last week, on shutout minutes. And when he's on, he's great, you know. He will stop just about anything. But sometimes it just seems like, you know, it's sort of like a batter going through a slump. You know, everything gets in your head. You want to swing at anything. You know, he kind of lets the armor down and he'll let a couple goals in. So if we can get Ben hot these last few days, like he was around the middle part of this month, then we should be in a good spot to make the playoffs.
So go ahead. Go ahead, Carlos.
No, and then from there, you know, we'll just have to see, you know, Winnipeg's very strong. Nashville's very strong, but you know, it's a new season when you get to the playoffs, especially in hockey. So anything can go.
You know, you mentioned Winnipeg, and maybe you guys remember this game. It goes back a while. I think it goes back to it was 1997. Yeah, 1997 or 1998. Postseason or, you know, Stanley Cup playoff. I think it was the first or the second round when they played a game in Winnipeg and they went into triple overtime or something. And the game, you know, because of the time difference, was like 1 o'clock in the morning by the time it was over here. I thought that was unbelievable. I was listening to it on the radio, and I thought that was. And do you guys remember that game at all? It had to be 97.
Are you sure?
It couldn't have been.
Are you sure it wasn't
ahead,
Edmonton? Because that sounds more.
Yeah.
Like
okay.
It,
you may be right. You may be right.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think you're right. It was not Winnipeg. Yeah, okay, yeah, Edmonton. Yeah, you're right. Exactly right. But that was not the year they won the Stanley Cup. That was the year they were eliminated by Detroit.
2 years.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. But I just remember that game. I just had the wrong city in mind. But I just remember that game, and, you know, it just would never end, you know. It was just going on and on and on in triple overtime. And what I love about hockey is that there's no penalty kicks for a playoff game. So you just keep playing, which is kind of fun. So right now, if the season ended today, David, who would they play?
Winnipeg.
And you like that matchup, I hear you saying that.
Yeah.
And but what's their record? What's Winnipeg's record right now? Are they similar to the Stars, or are they?
No, they got 92 points.
Winnipeg is, yeah, they've got 10 more points, and Winnipeg's 44, 26, and 4. But the Stars lead the regular season 2-1, and they play in Winnipeg on the 25th.
So that could
we'll
be the
see
game.
What happens.
Huh? That could be important, that game, then.
All
it could be.
Are important.
Yeah, no, that could be the. Yeah, all of them are
six,
important, but
games.
That could be that one head to head with the team you got to beat. You know, that could be the game. Anything else about the Stars? What kind of a grade would you give them, David or Carlos? Either one.
Well, I was just gonna. I wanted to expand real quick on what Dave said about the offense. I mean, he's 100% right. I mean, we on paper should have a very potent offense. Sorry. And I don't know. I think it's more Monty's offense. You know, Monty has a good, you know, when he was there at the University of Denver, he had a high scoring team, and that's why they won the national championship last year. But for some reason, that offense that he brought is just not conducive to where the Stars. It's just not conducive to the Stars. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Like once again, like Dave said, and I'm saying, well, I mean, we have a very good, you know, we have at least three good solid lines that can score at any time. And I don't know. I think, you know, once we get into, you know, the off season, we might need to, you know, might need to change it up a little bit.
How would you? Both of you, question for both of you. How would you rate the coach and just the overall coach? How would you rate him, David?
For Monty, I'd give him, you know, being his first season with an NHL team and what he's done with this team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would give him, you know, I'd probably give him a B.
B? Okay.
Yeah.
How about you, Carlos?
I was going to say C+. But
okay.
Once again, Dave's right. It's the first year. He's just got to make it work. You know, he also brought in his own assistant coaches, and they just need to gel with the players.
Yeah. What about the expectations? Because, you know, this is, I think, the second spring in a row. That, you know, last year, you know, they didn't play up to expectations. This year they didn't either. So I remember a couple of years ago we thought they were going in the right direction. Do you feel they're going in the right direction, David?
I think so, and I mentioned it, you know, even in when we were talking about preseason, that, you know, you bring in a new coach, it's going to take some time for these players to fall into their system, following the coach's system, that I didn't expect them really to go far. Like, I expect them, you know, to do better as far as offense and everything, but it's defense that's really shined more than the offense. So it's kind of gone the opposite of what I thought. But I've always said that, you know, to see how this team's going to shine and see where they really are, it's going to take, you know, another season or two to really see how Monty's style of play, his style of coaching, is going to be with the NHL.
How about you, Carlos? The same question. I mean, expectations, and are you happy, you know, with where the team is going?
No, I mean, am I happy where it's going? I hope to be. You know, I also had high, you know, Dave was more realistic. I was more up in the clouds. But I agree with him. You know, we both thought, you know, we went from an offensive-minded team to more defensive, you know, and Hitch left. And I don't know, it's like a role reversal. But, you know, I have high expectations every year for this team.
Sure.
And, you know, I think we're going to get there, you know, because I keep saying, no, next year will be our year. Dave's right. I think it might take some time. But, you know, I wouldn't invest more than 3 years on this. And you know, there were some really good coaches that were available. I'm not saying Monty's not a good coach. I'm just saying there were some other coaches that, you know, could have maybe started it up a little bit quicker.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's interesting. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, because I know if you go back a couple of years to other shows, it seems like you were a lot more – I just felt you were more optimistic a couple of years ago, and then, you know, so I'm just curious. As long – if you feel we're going in the right direction, then that maybe makes me feel a little bit better. We're going to take a little break. We're going to hear from one of our sponsors, and then we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, March 22nd. We're doing our checkup of Dallas-Fort Worth sports. We were just talking about the Mavericks and the Stars. Let's get back here with our friend Carlos and our friend David. Just a quick 2 minutes on the Dallas Cowboys. There's not a lot going on right now with the Cowboys because it's just that time of the year where nothing is going on. I think we'll probably have more to say in about 6 weeks or so, or 4 weeks when we do a show and the draft. Would you guys agree? I mean, is there anything about the Cowboys you wanted to say, Carlos?
Yeah, there's always something going on with the Cowboys, and this time it's Dak's dogs.
Yes.
His pit bull is getting out and biting people.
Yes, that's maybe he should bring those dogs to his line to help protect him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, those are good dogs, I guess. But no,
yes.
I mean, I forgot the receivers guy, the guy that came from Seattle, you know, signed a 1 year.
Isn't it Perkins?
Yeah,
Perkins?
I think so.
Yeah,
is
number
that right,
15, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's going to be good. But
yes.
I'm a little upset, and I mean, it's just because he's a local guy. But, you know, Cole Beasley. And good for him. You know, he went out and got him a nice, good contract for him. But it is, you know, he was one of Dak's go-to guys, you know.
Yes.
And
it's
interesting that he's, you know, local guy. He's from here, from Little Elm, from the town I live in. You know, he went to SMU, so he never really went far from home. But I'm going to wish him the best. I mean, he's well beloved, and I'm glad that I think he got a $28 million contract, and out of that, I think 20 is guaranteed. So that's awesome.
I agree.
But it'll be interesting to see. You know, you and I talked about this. I think we're both in the same boat. You know, I love Witten, and I really do, but people have to realize, you know, he took a year off. He's a year older.
Right, right.
I don't think he's going to be as good as people remember him being. So
sure,
that's going to be interesting for the development of our two tight ends that we had there.
Right. Well, all I can tell Cole is wait till it drops to however it drops in Buffalo. They don't have a roof. And I think he's going to learn that real fast when they play a game in December, or if they get to the postseason. That is not an easy play.
No.
Yeah, that's not an easy play to play because of the temperature. So, and they get a lot of snow. David, anything about the Cowboys that you wanted to say?
I mean, it's interesting. We lose Beasley, which was pretty much like a team favorite guy, even just a fan favorite. You know, just a low-key guy that was not – granted, he was a small guy anyways on the field. compared to everyone else. But, he'd just kind of come out of nowhere and just be like, oh, there's someone out there to catch the ball.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he will be missed. Like Lois was saying, I enjoyed watching him play.
I do too.
And then one thing with Witten is people got to realize that with him coming back, even signing a 1 year, he's not going to be taking the bulk of the snaps and everything, going out there, running the plays. That he's just kind of a meteor role. I think all it was, he said it, he missed the game. He missed being out on the field playing. But, he's not going to take the majority of the plays out there. So,
right.
That's one thing people have to realize.
That's right.
But,
no, I agree. Go ahead.
But I think they're wide receivers. I think they're doing right in who they're getting with. They got Randall Cobb from the Green Bay Packers. They've got awesome backs. I mean, I think as far as their wide receivers, I think they've got some good support around that that will also help with Cooper and all that. So.
Yeah, no, Cooper is the name of the receiver. Carlos,
he
we were
came
talking
from the Raiders.
Perkins. I said Perkins, but it's Cooper. Cooper is the name of the receiver. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Rangers now. Let's devote some time to that. Opening season is a week from today, Friday the 29th. They'll be playing the Cubs, which is always fun when the Cubs come here because they don't come here very often. In fact, I don't think they've been here in almost 12 years that I can remember. It's an interesting deal. The Rangers, again, they're rebuilding. Their roster is just about ready. I think there may be a couple of other spots available. I think the first controversy of the spring, if you want to call it controversy, was that Hunter Pence made the team and Calhoun is going down. And Calhoun is not happy. I don't blame Calhoun. He had a great spring. But I think Calhoun will be back here pretty soon. That's my feeling. He's part of their future. But let's just talk about the starting rotation. I think they've got a decent number one and a decent number two. At least they're capable of pitching in the major leagues. They've proved it. But after that, there's a big question mark. And that big question mark is going to determine how much they're going to use their bullpen. They don't have necessarily a bad bullpen. I think it's a workable bullpen. I think they can get things done with it, but they got to have some starting. I mean, they got to get some innings out of their starting pitchers, David. So their pitching, I think, is going to be the key, David.
But the Rangers pitching is always their key.
Yes.
I really think that their rotation is basically the same as it was last season. There's not a whole lot of, I'm not going to say a pow, but there's not a whole lot of wow either. I mean, you just look at these names and you're just kind of like, okay. So, I mean, I heard an interview with Minor, and he was just kind of like, I'm going to take opening day and go out there and do my best, but I've always been labeled as a number three, a number four, not a starter, not a number one, not a number two. So he's trying to put a whole lot of expectation on himself. I think the Rangers are trying to put a whole lot of expectation on him going out as being the number one starter. I just don't see that from any of these five that we have going out there. I think we have a bunch of three, four, and fives that we're just trying to see what can we do with these five players that we have coming out starting on this team. So, again, I don't think we've made a leap as far as trying to improve this team. I think what we're trying to do is just try to make it through another season until we can get this ballpark, this new ballpark opened. And then, possibly, there's some other pitchers out there that we can go after. I was ashamed that the Rangers couldn't get anything with Kershaw, but I really thought that he was going to go to a different team than the Dodgers, but he's loyal to them, and I can understand. And he's already having his injuries right now, so it was a good thing that the Rangers didn't go after him. But again, I don't see this team, you know, no, they're not even going to make the playoffs. They may make it second to last in their division. That's
okay,
kind of where I'm seeing the team.
Yeah, so you see pretty much a repeat of last year. How about you, Carlos?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, so, unfortunately.
Well, last year they lost 92, wasn't it, or 90? I believe that's how it was last year. Yeah, 90 games I think it was.
Lost,
they're in a
yeah.
tough division. That's the problem.
Tough division or crappy team or crappy GM.
Yes.
That's it.
That's the crappy GM. That's it.
You know I was going to go with that.
Yes.
I mean, a lot
Carlos is not the president. Carlos is not the president of the John Daniels fan club here in the Metroplex.
No.
He's the president of a different club, you know, the opposite. But anyway,
I mean,
that's right. At least you are consistent. Even if they win the World Series this year, you'll still say that it wasn't because of Daniels.
That would be correct, but they're not going to win the World Series
this
year,
unfortunately. That's right.
John Daniels is more about the stadium. You know, you said it. You know, this is another rebuilding year, but the way I look at it, I mean, as much rebuilding as the Rangers been doing, we should have like a 180-story high building by now. I mean, we just keep building, and unfortunately, I think we're going the wrong way. You know, I'm always going to be excited about my Rangers. I'm going to love them, you know, just like the Stars or the other teams. But I don't know. You were mentioning about the pitching rotation, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know half of those guys.
Well, they're not well known.
They're not
very well known. That's why you don't know them. Yeah.
Right, and a lot of them had Tommy John surgery.
Yes.
And once again, money's not being spent on making this team better because it's all about the ballpark. Now, come next year, I think we'll start seeing some money being spent for good players and better pitching, and because they want to make the new ballpark attractive to free agents. And,
sure.
So,
and it will be easier to attract free agents with a roof.
With a roof.
That's what I understand.
Yeah, air conditioning.
Yeah, because I mean a lot of pitchers just simply cannot handle the heat. But I can understand that. Sometimes the fans cannot handle the heat either. But I mean, I agree with David that Minor would not necessarily. He may not be number one by the middle of the season. I'm optimistic about Lynn. I think he may be the best pitcher this year. But if Minor and Lynn can give you, let's say, each one can give you more than 150 innings, that will at least save the bullpen a little bit. If Lynn or Minor do not live up to expectations, it's going to be a terrible year for the bullpen because they're just going to wear out the bullpen by June, David.
No, I agree. I think Lynn is the best pick that we did.
Yes.
And I'm glad we did. I mean, we looked at him last season as well. We just didn't really go after him that hard. So I'm glad that we finally got him because another person I possibly would have looked at was Cobb as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget where he went.
Tampa Bay, I think.
But I think, was it Tampa or the Yankees or something over in there?
Yeah, one of those.
So that was another person I was hoping we could have picked up as far as, you know, not spending a whole lot of money, but getting, I would say, a decent quality pitcher. I think that would have been a good investment.
I agree.
I think we would have. So, I mean, that would have probably been another pitcher I would have looked at. But, yeah, I would agree with you that Lynn is probably the best of the five that we have. And I could see him probably winning, you know, 12, 13 games, probably give us about 170 innings.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
His strikeouts, you know, I'd probably say anywhere between, you know, 90 to, you know, 110, we'll say within there. But No, I would agree with what you were just saying.
Yeah, you know, he is. It's interesting because he and Elvis were both on the opposite side of the 2011 World Series. Isn't that interesting? Lynn was with the Cardinals in 2011, and Elvis on our side. So it's kind of an interesting connection to that World Series. But one guy that I wish, you know, I would get, you know, this fellow Dallas Kershaw, is it, or with Houston, Dallas? I can't think of his last name right now. The left-hander.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he's still a free agent. I would call him up and say, "We'll give you a 1 year, $15 million contract, and you know, play with us for a year, because that's a guy that could make you a heck of a better team." And for a 1 year contract, why not take a chance on a guy like that? I would. How about you, Carlos or David? Either one.
I mean, I would take the offer. I don't know about $15 million though, but
yeah, that's,
you know,
the same thing.
Maybe 10. I don't know, whatever.
I'd say anywhere from 7 to 10. Give him that shot. But he's not what he was two seasons ago, where he was just
right,
lights
yeah.
out.
That's right. No, you're right.
And everything.
You're exactly right.
But
yeah.
Again, he has the mentality as a number one, like none of our
That's
others
right.
do. So I would do what you're saying, but I would give him, you know, anywhere from 7 to 10.
Yeah, I mean the number, you know, whatever the number is, I would try to sign him, because, you know, he's not getting a lot of phone calls from teams right now. And he's available, and I'm sure this would be a good time to negotiate with him. Let me ask you one more question about the Rangers, and then I want to get your reaction to these huge salaries. The next time we do a show, we'll get into the predictions for Major League Baseball and who's going to win what division and so on. But right now, let me tell you about the Rangers. Who's the one player that you're really, you know, you're kind of interested, or who could very well be move to a different level or be the surprise of the year? Carlos.
Joey Gallo. I love that guy. I know he's hurt and he's going to be playing with the minors, but I know he's been working a lot this offseason to kind of help with the strikeouts. So I think if he can cut some of those strikeouts and turn them into walks or even more home runs, it's going to be awesome.
If he could hit 240, He would be,
right.
You know, I mean, he would hit 50 home runs. Carlos.
Yes, sir.
I mean, David. I'm sorry, David. Yeah, sorry
well,
about
Carlos
that.
Carlos took my guy, so I'm going to pick a totally different person, but I would actually say that Elvis is going to kind of continue his little streak that he's going on. So, I mean, he's increased his productivity as far as home runs, his on base, just everything about it. I think he's going to continue improving on those stats. So I think that's another person to keep an eye on.
You know, Elvis deserves a lot of credit, because ever since he made those three errors in that postseason game, he's been a much better player. I don't know if you've noticed this, and his numbers have really been so much better. I don't know what happened to him, or his whole career really began to change after that. And I would not be surprised. I'll make a prediction now, crazy prediction. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets to 2,500 hits, by the time he reaches his mid-30s. He's still a very young player. But I wouldn't be surprised if he gets that high, because he's very consistent. He's become a very consistent. The one player that I would like to put in the mix I think Gallo, that's a good choice, Carlo. I think Guzman at first base. I'm kind of intrigued by him. I just have this funny feeling that this is a guy, kind of a quiet guy, tremendous first baseman, tremendous glove. There's just something about him from the first time I saw him on television. There's something about him that I like. And I wouldn't be surprised if he hits with a little bit more power, a little bit more average, and becomes a pretty decent major league player, guys. I don't know. Maybe I'm just wishing too much. But I really like the way he plays, David.
No, I agree. I mean, he's been a huge help at first base. I mean, I didn't expect a whole lot out of him from last season, but, you know, he's really put a name for this team, and, you know, with the bat and also with the glove. So, you know, just a good all-around player that, you know, has really made a name for himself with the Rangers. So,
well, Carlos, you were a first baseman when you played baseball, so you know how tough a position that is. I bet you like to watch him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to be quick on the feet, and he is that.
Yeah. And he's got a great extension, you know, when he opens up his arms like that. I mean, he's just great. I really like him. I think I just have a funny feeling he's going to be my surprise player of the year. Okay, let's take a few minutes and talk. Go ahead.
I was just saying he's a little Palmeiro over there.
Well, you know, it's a great comparison because Palmeiro was not, when he first came up, he didn't have the numbers that he eventually had. I'm not talking about the power numbers that came later. I'm just saying batting average, he really didn't have that right away. He, you know, it took him a while to start hitting for average. And
yeah.
So, you know, that's a good comparison. I mean, later on he started hitting home runs. I know that, but I mean, in the first, like when he came to the Rangers, nobody thought he'd be a power hitter. That wasn't associated with him. Okay, let's get your reaction to these salaries: Harper, Machado, and Trout. I understand it's a lot of money, and I don't fault the guys for signing. You know, I wouldn't. I'd sign too if they offer me that kind of money. But yeah, I mean, who would turn that down? I mean, I wouldn't. But I'm just thinking more in terms of whether these are the players that you would invest that kind of money in. Harper with Philadelphia, Machado with San Diego, and Trout with the Angels. So looking at it from that standpoint, whether they can actually help the team win, were these good investments? Now, I'm not talking about the money, because the money's crazy, and that's, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about whether or not they can actually help their teams win. Carlos.
Harper and Trout for sure. Harper and
yes.
Trout are, I mean, we've seen Trout. Yeah. I mean, Harper is a great guy. He's still, you know, a little young, and, you know, he's got many, many, many miles left on that tank. Trout, I mean, we've seen him. He is consistent. He is good. He's not a really flashy guy, but he knows how to get the job done, and he does that job well.
That's it. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
I think both of those guys can help both teams win, yeah.
Yeah. How about you, David?
Well, let's just put my name in front of what everything Carlos just said and just say that.
Well, I take it you're not too impressed with Machado, David.
No, I mean, after what we saw with him, you know, he's a dirty player. I'm surprised San Diego wanted to offer him that much money. But, you know, when you put a bat in a glove, you know, he's going to produce the numbers. He's going to put fans in the stands. It's just, can he control his ego? Can he kind of control, you know, the dirty plays and everything?
Mm-hmm.
That's really what's going to come down with him. I mean, if you want to rank all these three, I think Trout is the more all-around
yes.
player than Harper, than Machado. So if you look at any kind of investment, I think the Angels are going to come out better on their end. I know he got the better end of all the contracts, but like we were saying, we got to take the money, you know, out of the equation. But I think as far as how the game is played, the understanding of it, knowing where to be, knowing where to go, how to read the pitcher, read the sign, see the ball, Trout is more all around than Harper and Machado, for sure.
No, I agree. I think that Machado, I think Machado is going to be in for a real awakening when he tries to hit home runs in that park in San Diego. That is not an easy place to hit. You know, he went from Oriole Park, which was very easy, not easy, but I mean, one of the best parks for home runs, to San Diego, which may very well be the toughest from what I understand. So that, you know, hitting 30 home runs in Baltimore, maybe means about 20 in San Diego. So I hope he can handle that. I hope he can handle that. Harper, my only concern with Harper is not his skills. My only concern is that he gets injured because he plays so hard. Reminds me a little bit of Hamilton, who I think played so hard that I think took Rusty Greer. Yeah, that so that would be my concern. Trout, I agree with you guys. I think he may be the best player, certainly in the American League. I mean, he's just fantastic. I mean, he's the most complete player probably in the league. So I think Trout is the one that I would invest the money in, but I'm not sure he's got the team, and I don't think he's got the team and with the Angels to make that championship run yet. So it may be a little longer than that. I mean, the Angels have not exactly been winning a lot lately. I mean, they have some players, but they're not exactly winning. So we'll see. We'll see how it turns
out.
They're
rebuilding. They're rebuilding too.
Yeah, they're rebuilding too. So that's why I was kind of surprised that they gave him the money. I thought they would try to trade him and get a bunch of young guys like, you know, like the Orioles did with Machado. That's what I thought they were going to do. But anyway, he's going to be there for a while, which is okay for us because we get to see him, and he's a great player.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, he's going to be the Nowitzki of the Angels over there.
Well, that'd be great.
He likes
that would be great.
Yeah. And I think that's what that reflects, the investment that the Angels are making on him.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Well, guys, the time is up. As always, thank you for your time. And let's do one maybe just right before the NFL draft or around the NFL draft. How's that?
Sounds great.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, Carlos, and thank you very much, David.
Thanks for having
us.
All right, my friends. Good night, and we'll see you Sunday. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Thanks.
Good night, everybody. This is Silvio Cantu from Dallas. We did our sports talk, and I think we have agreement on lots of things about the Rangers and about Mike Trout, who to me, he's the best player in the American League. I mean, the guy is just unbelievable, just completely unbelievable. Well, thank you for listening. This is Silvio Cantu in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.